Welcome to Magazine. Can traditional Czech cuisine survive the country's accession to the European Union? As the country moves to bring its norms and regulations in line with those of the EU, the public is beginning to feel the bite, and people don't like it one bit. One of the most controversial regulations which have come into effect stipulates that Czech pubs and restaurants will no longer be allowed to serve cooked food which is older than 3 hours. Czech cuisine is based on a wide variety of sauces served with meat and dumplings. Most of those are cooked in the morning, kept in the fridge and served throughout the day. Gourmets insist that most Czech sauces are perfect only after having been left to sit for a few hours, or even overnight. This is how most Czechs cook and consume them at home, and the idea that they would no longer be able to do so at pubs and restaurants in their own country has not gone down at all well. I asked a few people on the streets of Prague what they thought of the new regulation.
No, I don't agree with it. The food can last much longer than that. After all, when you cook it at home, you don't throw it out after 3 hours, do you?
It's complete rubbish. Everyone knows that goulash is best eaten the next day. The people who made the law must have lost their marbles. From the point of view of Czech cuisine, it's a disaster. I can't imagine how this will work in practice. Our sauces are best after being left to sit for a few hours. And that's when they'll throw them out, I suppose.
I think it's nonsense. I've eaten at pubs for 20 years and never had any problems. This new regulation will lead to wasting good food. Who in their right mind would do that? And how could pub owners afford to do it? In the end, they'll just feed us all steaks, increase the prices, and be done with it. I saw it on TV last night, and like that cook said, goulash is best eaten the next day. In pubs, they are only allowed to serve it on the day that it has been made. So who's worrying? These lawmakers should find something better to do with their time.
V podstatě ta česká kuchyně je z těch hotových jídel složena, čili jsou to většinou ty omáčky, jako je svíčková.
Czech cuisine is based on sauces, cream sauce, dill sauce, tomato sauce, you name it. And there's no way that pubs can make them fresh every 3 hours. And deep frozen and defrosted, they just wouldn't taste the same. Look, we've all eaten this food, it's been our staple diet for generations, and nobody's any the worse for it. Some lobby group should put up a fight for our cuisine, or before we know it, we'll end up eating foreign food we don't like.
Well, that's how customers feel. Now, what about pub owners? Speaking on an anonymous basis, the owner of a small pub in Prague told me what she thought would happen now.
No, bude se to řešit tím způsobem, že se to bude obcházet. Bude se tvrdit, že...
I think pub and restaurant personnel will always find ways around it. They will insist that the food was cooked less than 3 hours ago, and who can prove otherwise? Hygiene inspectors can tell if it has gone bad, but how will they ascertain when it was made? Either that, or they will remove all these foods from their menus and offer steaks and pizzas. This regulation is bad, but we as a nation and as individuals are not confident enough yet to fight for our rights. To say, this does not suit me, it's a bad law. Instead, we'll find ways around it. Maybe our children will do better.
Nevertheless, norms and regulations regarding the quality of food, service and surroundings will get tougher and inspections more frequent. Gradually, this and other norms will have to be met. Some of them will require quite a lot of investments. So is this a death knell for Czech pubs as we know them? Sylvia Spohr is president of the Association of Entrepreneurs in the Food Catering Business.
Yes, it will certainly threaten the livelihood of some owners. To be specific, it will threaten those who are not prepared for it. Those who have not put finances aside to meet the extra costs of whatever it takes to meet EU norms. At present, many entrepreneurs in this business are finding ways around the law, but the pressure will increase, and those who are not prepared to meet the new requirements financially and mentally will not survive. Of course, we can ask for an exception here and there, as other countries before us have done, but the package as such is something we'll have to adhere to in order to survive.
Dokoukáte, to jste měl dnes po obědu.
A nice ripe goulash is not all that Czech pubgoers are likely to miss. Rum is one of the most popular pub drinks in the country, alongside beer and Fernet. And there is now a heated discussion as to what's going to happen to Czech rum after EU accession. The problem is that while rum is generally produced from molasses, the local brand of rum is produced from potatoes and grains. According to EU regulations, Czech rum will not be able to be sold under its present rum label. Since after accession to the common market, Czech shops will fill up with foreign brands of rum, Czech rum producers need to unite under one highly publicized label in order to retain local consumers. Another reason why they need to unite under a registered trademark is that if they each sell their product under a different name, buyers will not know what they're getting. Since the drink will no longer be called rum, producers would easily be able to cheat on the alcohol content and even change the production technology. But choosing a new name has proved to be more of a problem than one might have thought. Some have suggested calling it St. Bernard's. Another suggestion is Rumba. What everyone would happily agree on is Duzemark, loosely translated as local brew. The problem is that one producer is already selling a rum-like alcoholic beverage under that label and is not willing to relinquish ownership rights. People already associate Duzemark with rum, and once the Czech rum label disappears from supermarket shelves, buyers will automatically reach for something they know. Listening to Magazine on Radio Prague, and we're now near the end of the program, which means that it's time for Bill Bathurst to offer us some Czech literature. I see you have one of Miroslav Holub's books with you today, Bill, but what is it going to be, poetry or prose?
Actually, both. Well, what I mean is I'll read you a poem and a couple of prose poems, all from Faber and Faber's The Rampage, published in 1997, the year before Dr. Holub died, just a few months before his 75th birthday. A word of warning, though, they're all pretty dark. First, the poem, Resurrecting. By midnight, the vampires will appear, without ears, with tentacles, fangs protruding, and among them, a well-groomed TV show host. And the tombs will open, mummies scraping across the thresholds, skeletons swaying their legs on the churchyard walls. Prophets and witches will rise, eunuchs and dukes, unbaptized babies, serfs and suicides. For every three, one purgatorial cameraman, because you need a recording for a really sexy metaphysics. Everyone will reenact the big moment. The leap from the fifth floor will be shot by the miniature guardian angel who resembles a vigilant flying fish. The vemic murder will be captured by an armored lizard with four agfa eyes, the sadistic sex performance of a Chinese cook with a Polish nun, by a black Betamax monk who closely resembles a mole cricket. Van Gogh's ear will be recorded at the cut plane by a fiddler crab with a bifocal microscope. The autumn battle of sad kings by a golden yellow wooden-legged saint. The love of three oranges by a celluloid video virgin. It will be eternity turned inside out, the world throwing up, broadcast live, mirroring in the eye of a blind god the scream of futility, which, up to now, hasn't realized even that it exists. So much for Miroslav Holub's Resurrecting, Don't Say I Didn't Warn You, and onward to the prose poems, which face each other. On the left, The Darkness. Darkness, the electric eel, darkness, the throat of an alligator. Darkness is transformed into heat, time is expanded forwards and backwards, and in the circular tunnel, our thought protons accelerate. The autopsy is underway, the one conducted by antipodes. They have the faces of apes. From the darkness comes a voice of unknown origins, foreign or our own, saying, "You're getting on my nerves." In the darkness, in our retinas, a puppet theater is performing without a stage manager. We have some characters in common, the demons, for instance. So the darkness on the left, on the right, the silence. A broad smile from the abyss, a volcano that didn't erupt. The cannonball stalled above the turquoise landscape, postponement of the punitive expedition. The Trojan War does not take place. Helen still waits for her orgasm. Laurel rots midway between defeat and victory. Breathless, we have been wrapped by a boa constrictor. We have been squeezed by a blind worm. We have been fondled by a tapeworm. Pinworms have hugged our vessel's endothelium, resulting in elephantitis of our redundant limbs. Fumes rise from the entrails of gutted orators. White teeth are strewn around, the result of a panel discussion and as a rudiment of reason. And the dead stroll among us with life on the tips of their tongues. Whew. No wonder Ted Hughes once described Miroslav Holub as one of the half dozen most important poets writing anywhere. Goodbye.
That was Bill Bathurst, and this is Daniela Zerovar saying thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend and take care.